Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs. Refreshing, relevant, real.
Title of the message is Believe. But next week we're going to be starting up a series called Strapped. And it just focuses on just how many times we feel like we're kind of strapped. Isn't that redundant? Yes. But we get strapped because maybe of financial things, okay? That things have just been tight financially. Some of it's our own doing. Some of it is just circumstances. Sometimes things just happen in life and we have to kind of cut corners. We have to take measures just to get by during a certain period of time. Sometimes it's because we spend too much at Christmas and we pay for it later, okay? But we get strapped financially. Sometimes we get strapped with our time, that we're going here, we're going there, and it's like we're having a tough time catching our breath. How can we, what is a biblical perspective on some of those things? So that's what we're going to look at the remaining weeks in January. And then I think we'll be going into a series on relationships in February, just because it's February 14th. It's a good time to talk about marriage, about kids, about other issues that concern relationships. So we want to, that's kind of where we're headed. This week, how many got your red copy? Everybody get your red copy? If there wasn't enough, I'll print off more, but I think there should be more than enough. So this is just kind of a prayer guide going through. So today's emphasis is to believe God for greater things. Tomorrow's to believe for the impossible. And the ladies, Sherry Heath, they're gone today, but they'll be back later on today. But the ladies are going to be meeting for prayer here tomorrow at 7 o'clock. So it's in the program there. It's on the week at a glance. So that at 7 o'clock here tomorrow, the ladies are going to meet to gather for prayer and to pray for needs, and she's putting some things together for that. The emphasis is to pray for the impossible. You know, that's touched upon the message, so we'll leave it that there. I believe with perseverance is on Tuesday. Believe through the tears. Thursday is believe for obedience. Wednesday night will be those adults that want to come that aren't involved with the Wednesday night activities. We'll have a prayer emphasis then. And then Friday is to believe for God's care. The Hispanic congregation, they pray on Friday night if you'd like to come and join them. They do a little cleaning before that, and then they pray. So Victor and Yolanda will be here for that. Saturday is believe for tomorrow. Believe God for the future. So that is the prayer emphasis. So I encourage you to, I'll be trying to keep that up to date on Facebook and on Twitter. How many get things on Facebook and Twitter from the church? I see Mary on there, okay? All right, we're on there, so I'll be posting stuff and be looking for that. I'll be putting the themes up there and communicating that way just to help. We all need friendly reminders, right? All right. So today we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 3. The title of the message is Believe, kind of going with our theme. And I'll find Ephesians here shortly. All right. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians, like Philippians, we were in the book of Philippians last week talking about how to close out 1 year and bring in the new year. We talked about goals. There's still some of those goal sheets at the back. If you didn't get one last week, grab it, and you can listen to the message online. But it just talks about how we can, from a biblical perspective, grow through life, set some goals that God places within our hearts, how we can set some realistic goals. But then what should our goals be? How can we fulfill those? How can we learn through life from mistakes, from success? How can we press on? So that was last week. But Paul writes both of these letters from where? From prison in Rome. So they are called prison epistles because he writes them from prison in Rome. We know because of that, then it is towards the latter part of his ministry. So Paul would spend, we don't know how much of his life he would spend before he knew Christ. I don't know if it was quite half, but he is an adult. He has moved up the ladder of within the Jewish faith to a pretty high place, that he is given the responsibility of persecuting Christians. He's very zealous for the Jewish faith. He begins to persecute Christians. So we first hear about Paul, also known as Saul, in the book of Acts. And we see him persecuting Christians that are beginning to follow Christ. This is after the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus. And so he's out there persecuting Christians. In fact, it's at his hands that Stephen is stoned. Okay, that is where we kind of pick up with it in Acts chapter 8. And after that, persecution breaks out on the church. And Paul's on his way to a town called Damascus to persecute Christians there. And it's on that road that God literally knocks him off his horse, blinds his eyes, and Saul has a face-to-face encounter with Jesus Christ himself. And it's a pivotal moment in his life. He comes face-to-face with Jesus. He takes a 180-degree course direction change in his life, and he begins to be a missionary, an evangelist for God, okay? And to pursue God. God calls him to be a light to the Gentiles, and he forsakes everything else to follow after Christ and to take the gospel to the Gentiles that by the Jewish people, as far as they were concerned, they were outside of God's plan. But God says, no, they are part of my plan. And so Paul becomes the apostle, the one that would lead the charge to bring the gospel to the Jewish people. So he's in Rome. He's writing this. He has a lot of experience under his belt. He has seen a lot of ups and downs in life, success, failure, hardships, obstacles. And as you get into chapter 3, you kind of get a picture of Paul's heart. And he said, you know what? I don't understand why God chose me. You ever sometimes wonder that? Paul says, I don't know why God chose me. I was a persecutor of Christians. Why in the world would God choose me? He goes, I am the least of all people, and yet God entrusted to me this commission to go to the Gentiles and with the message to share the gospel with them. And he's kind of overwhelmed with that. And we get to verse 14 of chapter 3 is where we're going to read. And he goes into a prayer for the Ephesians. And it's very heartfelt. It's very emotional. Because these believers are not just random Christians. They are people that have come to faith because of his ministry. So they're like his spiritual children. He has laid the groundwork. It was in his trips to Ephesus that they would come to know Christ and be brought into the kingdom of God. So he has some ownership. There's some emotion there. But now Paul's in prison, right? He isn't able to go and to visit them, to be with them. And so he says, I'm going to pray for you. So let's begin in verse 14 of chapter 3. Paul says, for this reason I kneel before the Father. And so he's whether he's physically doing it or not, he's going before God. He says, I'm kneeling before the Father in prayer, right? From whom the whole family in heaven and earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, that he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. So he's praying for their spiritual renewal, that they'd be edified, they'd be built up. He's not able there to pour into their life anymore. And so he's praying that God would continue to provide the people, that the Holy Spirit would continue to fill them with his Holy Spirit. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, so that they're developing some foundation, some roots, so that they're able to withstand the storms of life, okay? That you may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide, how long, how high, how deep is the love of Christ. And so he uses a bunch of ways to explain the love of God, that it's wide, it's deep. Kind of, yeah. Sometimes we think that the love of God is pretty narrow. God couldn't love me. I've done too much. Or I have done this. But Paul says, you know what? I was a persecutor of Christians, and God has poured out his love on me. He says, I pray that you may know the depth and the magnitude of God's love. And to know his love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the full measure of the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, according to His power at work within us, to Him be glory in the church in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Father, that we come before You this morning, we pray that You would take Your word up and just speak in the moments that we have, speak Your word into our hearts by Your Holy Spirit. Help us to capture what Paul is communicating to the Ephesians and to us here today. We give You the thanks. In Your name we pray. Amen. In your program, there's a couple points there that I want to touch upon. And then we're going to have some people lead us in prayer for different topics. That's how we're going to close our service today. But I want to give us a spiritual foundation, a biblical foundation, as we go to God in prayer this morning. First of all, in your program, Paul, we're going to learn about Paul and his theology of prayer. First of all, Paul believed in the power of prayer. Paul believed in the power of prayer. Now, that may seem just kind of like, well, don't we all? I don't think we do. We often overuse that statement, don't we? In our culture, somebody gets sick or they're going through cancer, you'll hear it on the news, you'll hear it on ESPN. Our thoughts and our prayers go out to you, right? Now, is that just an expression? Is that just something that we say to make people feel good? Or do we actually believe, are we just saying words, or do we believe that our prayers actually account for something, that they accomplish something in the heavenlies and here on earth? Do we actually believe that when we come before God and we bow that knee before Him, that there's going to be an answer to our prayer? Paul believed that. He believed in the power of prayer. He learned it through his experiences. He knew the power of prayer. And at this point in his life, the church in Ephesus, he knew enough that there were going to be people that would come into the church and try to deceive the believers in Ephesus. He knew that there was going to be obstacles. In fact, Paul would say that one of the most difficult places for him to minister was in Ephesus. He faced some very difficult opposition there from silversmiths. You think, well, what silversmiths have to do with Paul? Well, because the people so embraced the gospel in Ephesus that it put the silversmiths out of business because they were making idols. And the gospel took such a hold in Ephesus that it was putting the silversmiths out of business. That's powerful, folks. And because of that, Paul faced opposition. And you know that as the church continued to grow and to thrive in Ephesus, they also were going to face some opposition from people that didn't like what the gospel was accomplishing. He knew that was going to happen. He knew there was the threat that they could get complacent. In fact, you go into the book of Revelations, it talks about the church in Ephesus and Philadelphia and other places, the seven churches of Asia. And you can see that only one of them kind of is doing well. The rest of them, some of them are getting lukewarm. Some of them are being deceived by false teaching. There was a lot of attacks coming against the church. And you know what? Paul could not hop on the next ship and go to Ephesus. He couldn't hop in his car and zip there, right? He couldn't hop on the next plane and be there the next day because he was in prison. He was in prison. The only way that he could be an influence to the believers in Ephesus was by bowing his knee in prayer. And he believed in the power of prayer to sustain the church in Ephesus, even in his absence. You know, in your life, my life, often prayer is the last resort, right? We do all that we can do to fix things, right, in our own power, right? We try to fix things. And sometimes that's just not enough. And then we go to God in prayer. Prayer really should be the first thing that we do, right? To come before God. And it's not a Hail Mary. It's not that last ditch effort. I don't know who was praying for TCU last night. Somebody must have been, but yeah, I don't know. It was your fault, Michelle. All right. But it's not that last-ditch effort. We're going before God in prayer. We have to believe that when we come before God, that God honors those prayers and that He hears our heart. I think that's what faith is about, that we can pray, but if we're not praying with faith, what are we really accomplishing, right? It has to be combined with our faith. What are you believing God for? Esther believed God for her nation and her people. She was willing to put her life on the line and to pray. If you read from the book of Esther, if you look at the book of Daniel, see Daniel believed for his nation and its restoration. He prayed and fasted. Hannah, the mother of Samuel, came before God and believed God for a son. She was barren and was unable to have children, and God heard her prayer. The centurion in the Gospels came to Jesus for his servant that was ill, was about ready to die. And he had the faith that says, you know what, Jesus, just speak the word and he'll be made whole. And at that moment, his servant was healed. Blind Bartimaeus, he had been blind most of his life. And he believed that God would heal him. He was willing to be made fun of and to be a fool. And God saw his faith. Jesus did. And he was healed. Paul believed in the power of prayer. And if we want for God to hear our prayers, we have to also have that idea that when we come before God, that God hears our prayer. Hebrews chapter 11 says that faith is... Why don't we just turn there? Chris doesn't have that in there, but... Hebrews chapter 11 says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And this is what the ancients were commended for. And then verse 6 says, without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that, first of all, He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. So when we come to God in prayer, we have to come on the premise that, you know what? There is power in prayer and that God will answer our prayers. Does God always answer our prayers the way we want Him to? No. No. Sometimes God has to tweak them a little bit, right? Because sometimes we get our motives in there, our feelings. But I do know is that God wants the best for us. And we need to pray according to God's will. If we pray according to God's will, I don't think there's anything that is outside the scope of God's power. Which leads to the second point. Verse 20, God is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine according to His power. Now, Paul uses some adjectives in here, right? He's saying God's not able just to do more than we ask or think. He's able to do immeasurably more. Okay, that word hyper or hooper in the Greek, okay? If you look at prefixes, that means it's over and above, right? So God is able to do more than we can ask or think, over and over and over above. Paul likes to kind of just overdo it. But he wants to get his point across that God is able to do more than we can ask or think. And I like the way, just in one of the books I was researching on, it says that what Paul is trying to communicate is that God's capacity to meet the needs of His people far exceeds anything we could request or conceive by the way of anticipation. I'm going to repeat that. Paul is trying to communicate that God's capacity to meet the needs of people far exceeds anything that we could request or conceive by the way of anticipation. You know, and often I think we come to God and say, God, man, you know, I know I'm asking a big prayer. Do you think you can really handle this? I don't know. That's why I've prayed sometimes. God, I need that financial need, you know. It's a couple $1,000s. And we think we're stressing God out when He owns it all, doesn't He? He owns it all. We come before Him for healing or other requests. And we think, God, you know, it's a big request. But you go through the scriptures, He raised the dead, He healed the sick, opened the blind eyes, raised the dead. I think I already said that. Cast out the evil spirits. He did it all. Nothing is outside His scope. And often I think our prayers are too small. And I think God is honored by big requests. Right? When you really look at Scripture, I think God is honored by big requests. Now, if it's just saying, hey, God, man, I'd sure like that new Cadillac or the BMW, right? Woo! You know, God is more than able to do that, okay? But to what end? Okay? To what end? I think God would hear a prayer if you know what, you say, come before God and say, God, our car's breaking down. We need a new vehicle. We need a new transportation. Whatever that may be, and God provides a car through some ways. God hears that prayer. Why? Because he wants to provide for his people, right? I believe he is honored by big requests because he's a big God. And he wants us to come before him. And I think often we get in that perspective that we ask prayers that are only possible instead of prayers that are impossible. We pray prayers that we know that God has answered in the past, and so we come to God with that knowledge instead of believing God for things that seem outside the realm of possibility. But isn't that where God functions? Isn't that where he operates? Isn't the supernatural and the impossible? And I'm not a great person of faith. And so God always has to constantly, through Scripture and through other things, he has to build up my faith. He has to challenge my faith. So I get outside sometimes my box or my vision and believe God for what he is able to do. And I think the key there is to understand God, not to pray through my heart and my vision, but to pray through God's vision. And many times if we can do that, it's going to say, God, that can't be your will. That's just too big. Well, maybe that's how he wants us to pray. He wants us to capture his heart. And often his dreams, his visions, what he's calling us to do is going to be beyond what we're able to do. And that's where God wants us to be. Because then we depend upon him. We trust him. We come before God. You know what? And we may end up praying a lot. Okay? But that's not a bad thing, is it? No. It's not a bad thing to be close to God and to be on our knees in prayer. As we get to the final part of our message, I've asked several people to come and pray for different topics. I want us to agree with them in prayer. They're going to come up here and pray, but I just don't want you to be counting sheep or thinking about, you know, the football game that's going to be on later on today, okay? All right? I want us to be agreeing with them in prayer. So when we talk about agreeing with in prayers, you have somebody leading up in prayer. We're agreeing with them. We're praying with them, okay? So that's what I want us to do. Now, if you want to be standing, if you want to be sitting, I don't care. But I want you to be actively praying with them. Does that make sense? I don't want you to be doodling, okay? Be praying with them, okay? And let's just believe that God's going to do something special here today, all right? As we come before him. Gary's going to come. He's going to be the first just to lead us in prayer for healing. Elizabeth Sanchez, she's been a member of our congregation, and she goes in for surgery, brain surgery this week, to remove a tumor, a very delicate surgery. She's had a lot of consequences because of this brain tumor. She's going in for surgery. Mary Beth has pneumonia. But we've had needs. We've had God do some healings here in our church, but I'd like to see God do more, that as people come into this place and as we pray, that God releases his power as we come before him. So, Gary, go ahead and share.
Thank you. Well, this is my favorite subject, to tell you the truth. And I thought Pastor Brent really explained the power of faith, how faith comes into all this very well, because Jesus told the Armaeus that he gave the sight to, your faith has healed you. When the lady touched his garment, the lady with the issue of blood, he said, your faith has made you whole. So, how much faith do we have? You know, you have faith in other things. You get on an airplane, you can't see the pilot. How do you know there's a pilot up there? How do you know he's sober? You know, you don't. You just have, so you're built with faith, right? We believe things. So when it comes to prayers, then in faith and prayers, you get your faith through the Word, or you get your faith through other people that you've seen healed in this situation. And I've seen people healed. A baby with whooping cough 2 rows ahead of us was instantly healed of that whooping cough and the prayer. A lady walked in the church that was intoxicated, yelling, screaming. Instant prayer for cast out the spirit of alcoholism. Sat down, chair, passed out, never made another sound the whole service. I'm like, you know, I'm kind of a trained observer. I watch things. So, you know, and I had personal, I had personal experience with this healing deal, because I had an operation when I was up in Gordon, similar to a hernia operation. Anyway, they called me up a couple days later and said, "Well, that was cancerous." Well, you know, before I went into the operation, the elders of the church come and anointed me with oil and prayed, and they said, "What do you want to pray for?" And I said, "Pray that I don't have any pain." So they did that, you know, and they come bring you out and they give you the pain pills and put them by your bed, and if you need these, take them. I never took any. And they said, "Well, really, you can take them." I said, "Oh, I will if I need to, but I don't need to." Never had any pain at all through that whole deal. Now, I should have prayed not to have any stiffness, too. I didn't, you know, but you learn as you go. Anyway, so I'm happy here. I don't have any pain, resting in bed. And the doctor office calls me up, and then they tell me, "Well, that was cancerous, you know. We're going to have to do some more procedures here." Boy, that really hits you, you know, because you have all this preconceived idea of, oh, doom and gloom. But probably 10 minutes later, the phone rang, a friend of mine from Sturgis, and he really, really just an acquaintance, you know. And he prayed. I told him what was going on, and he prayed with me, prayed the blood of Jesus over me, or over the phone, and cast cancer out, completely away from me, complete healing. And then he said something else that I'd never heard before. He said, "Now, you cast it out. Don't call it back." He said, "Don't talk about it. None of your family will speak that word. You're completely gone. It's like a stray dog that comes up to your house. You know, nasty, ugly dog. And you yell at him and cast him away. Do you keep calling him back by saying his name? And you sure don't feed him, right?" So, important thing. You pray with faith, because faith is what will make it work. And you don't keep repeating your problem like you still have it, because you don't have it. And I get excited when they play the power in the blood, you know, power in the blood of Jesus, because there's unlimited power in the blood of Jesus. You can do anything. So right now, let's just say a prayer for healing. Father God, we come to you right now, and we ask for healing. We ask this in the name of Jesus over Elizabeth Sanchez, for the tumor that's in a head problem, Lord. We cast that out right now in the name of Jesus. We plead the blood of Jesus over her. We claim total and complete healing for her. And Father, we also ask this blood of Jesus be spread over Beth for the pneumonia, Lord. We cast that away. Cast it out. These things are not of you. They're in the spiritual world, and we cast the words out of those families. Father, we thank you for everything you've done for us in the past year, and Lord, lead us forward into bigger and better things, Lord. Your unlimited power is available to us through your word and through your teaching and through your son, Jesus. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks, Gary. All right. And if you're up, just make your way up here for the next person. So Denise is going to lead us in worship. Jill will be next.
Okay. So I think sometimes when we think of praise and worship, we don't really absorb what does that mean? What does the words praise and worship mean? You know, like we praise our kids when they get an A on a test or they hit a home run. But for God, how much more should we praise and worship him for what he's done? So number one, we praise God because of who he is. And number two, we praise him to thank him for all that he's done. Immeasurably more than we can even think about. Sending his own son to die for us. Weekly, what does he do throughout our lives during the week? I know when we come together on Sunday to praise and worship him, it's an extension of what we're doing during the week. As we worship him, how many times do we throw up a thank you, God, for his intervention in our lives, for in whatever way, for helping us through our work week or healing us or anything like that? So David, in Psalm 69, 30, 31, he said, I will praise God's name in song and glorify him with thanksgiving. This will please the Lord. So we praise him because it pleases him, and his glory is reflected back to us. So when we praise our kids, you know, when they get excited and they're so proud and happy, that comes back to us. We feel good because they feel good. Well, God's glory reflects back to us. So we just come together corporately on Sundays to worship as we worship individually during the week. So let's pray. Dear God, we just praise you for who you are, and we thank you for all that you've done. Help us to continually offer you a sacrifice of praise, both at home and corporately here at church, and to please you, God. You are worthy of all of our praises. We thank you that as we proclaim your goodness, we reflect your glory back to you, transforming our lives. So out of reverence and thankfulness to you, we choose to continually offer up our sacrifice of praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Jill is going to pray for our nation. We got elections coming up this fall, and for God, just his will to be done.
And I didn't prepare anything to say beforehand, so, and I'm a little nervous for some reason. Give me a microphone to sing, and I can have no problem with it, but ask me to pray. And so let's just bow our heads and lift him up together. Lord Jesus, I just thank you so much, Lord, for dying for us, that we can humbly yet boldly approach the throne room. Lord, that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, yet you hear our prayers. And I don't think we understand fully what that means. Lord, that you're the one that created the universe, yet you care what we say. And so I just lay our nation in front of you, Lord God. Lord, I thank you for this country, Lord, that you founded it with people that are seeking you, Lord Jesus, and we've come so far away from that. Lord, help restore us. Lord, raise up a remnant of true Christians in this country that will stand for what they believe, Lord God, that will do it humbly and will do it with love, but will stand firm. And Lord, I just ask that you give us wisdom in the upcoming election, that you give us discernment in who needs to lead this country back towards you. Lord, that the divisions in this country will be healed, Lord God, that order will be restored through you, Lord Jesus, through humbling ourselves, through getting on our knees and crying out to you. Lord, I just thank you so much for working through the elected officials. Lord, and give them wisdom. Give them strength when they have to come against opposition, when they have to compromise, when they don't want to compromise, Lord God. Lord, and even the ones that don't know you, Lord Jesus, because you know there are a lot of them, and the ones that give you lip service, Lord, help them vote in the way that they don't know why they're doing it, but you do, Lord God, and we do, Lord Jesus, because of the people that have cried out to you, that the things that you need passed in this country, the ways that you need us to go will happen, because above all, it will be your will that will be done. And Lord, I just thank you that above all, that your will be done in this country. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks, Jill. Amy is children and families.
And we have a lot of children here today. So if you are a child, if you could stand, and I guess I'm thinking child as in maybe up through high school. And there's adults here. If you can make sure that each student has somebody praying with them. So you may need to move from your seat a little bit, but we have a mom with lots of kids here. So we need some other adults to help and help over here too. But so go ahead and move and find someone that you can pray for. And as we pray, we're just going to pray that God's blessing would be upon them. Lord Jesus, I just thank you so much for the children and the life that they bring to our church and the life that they bring to a community. And Lord, I pray special strength for them because our society right now doesn't always value our children. And God, we put policies into place that hurt them and tear down their spirit instead of building them up. And so, Lord, this morning we pray for our children. Lord, so many of them walk through each day with hurts that no adult could bear, and yet they're bearing some of these heavy burdens, Lord Jesus. God, if there are any children in this room that are bearing these burdens, Lord, we just pray that you would lift that from them, that your Holy Spirit would heal those hurts and heal those things that would be trying to weigh them down. God, for the children that walk through our doors on Wednesdays, Lord, we just pray that the minute they walk in the doors of this church, that they would just sense your Holy Spirit and that it would bring a peace to their hearts. Lord Jesus, we just pray that our children would desire what is right. And God, that they wouldn't ignore the voice of your Holy Spirit speaking to them. They might not realize it's you, but God, I pray that their hearts would be soft and they would listen to the nudgings that you're giving them about what is right and what is wrong. Lord, I pray for their minds, that they would be sharp, that they would be able to learn. Lord, I pray that if there's anything that's blocking their brain's ability to function, God, that you would just heal them and move those things out of the way so that they can become the person that you have them to be. Lord, I pray for the parents, that you would give the parents wisdom and guidance. And for any of us who are having an influence on children, Lord, that you would help us to guide them in your way. Help us to be faithful even when it's tiring. Lord, give us wisdom. Help us to know your way for them. Lord, I pray for our society that we would value our children, that we would protect our children. Lord, as a church, I pray that you would help us to value our children and to protect our children. Lord, I pray for the children in our congregation that you would help them to develop a true relationship with you. Lord Jesus, that they wouldn't just go through the motions, but that they would truly worship you and truly learn to have a relationship with you. And I pray that you would give them boldness to share Christ. Each of them has a different social group. Each of them has a different way that they, a different group of people that they come in contact with. And I pray that you would fill them with the love for the people that are around them. And God, I thank you so much for our children. Help us as a church to nurture them and to help them grow in their faith. And help us as citizens and as community members to reach out to the children. And we just pray that your protection and your peace would just completely, completely surround them. In Jesus' name.
Pray for our youth.
I'm going to pray for the youth, or I guess adolescents in the schools. God, we thank you and we come before you, Father, and we just lift up just all the youth and the schools that they attend, God, and in our country, God, and specifically here where we're at in Crete, God, in Nebraska. Father, I pray that that those statistics that we hear a lot, Father, with just students coming from fatherless homes and not having mothers in their lives or just not having good and positive influences in their lives, God, I pray that we would just step up, Father, and to continuously pray, God, for these situations, God, to be people to come into those lives, God, and to be a positive role model and influence on the lives, Father, and to other parents, to mothers, and to other fathers, God, to be there for them, to encourage them, to lift them up, God, because we don't want to keep having those negative statistics come out, God, but I pray that just by your Holy Spirit, Father, that your power can come and to influence us. And God, I pray that we would be able to train up students, Father, to know your word, God, to be witnesses in their schools, God, to be an example, God, to other students, Father. And I pray that just for your strength, God, and your boldness and your goodness, and that your Spirit would just continuously walk with us, God, and we would rely on you, God. God, we lift up just the schools, God, that you'd be there with the teachers, with the administration, God, and that through everything that comes up and all the different situations, God, that you would be glorified, Father, that your name would be known. God, I pray for the students here in Creek, God, and within our church, Father, and in youth group, God, that you would this year, God, that you would do something different, God. I pray for just supernatural things to take place, God, and that we would be grateful and praise you in the small victories as well as the large victories, God, throughout this year, God, and our vision, our goals, our future, Father, would be just set in to match with your dreams and your goals and passions, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Tessa's going to pray for our colleges. We need a move of God in our colleges. I don't know if you know that or not, but there was kind of a real move of God back 40 years ago, and it kind of started in our colleges. One of the places was Doan College. If you know Randy and Heidi Pospisil, they were saved through that, and others that were instrumental. UNL, that was kind of the beginning of Christ Place, was some of the revival that God did there on the UNL campus. And so it can happen there.
I'm just going to go into prayer as well. So. Lord Jesus, you know that all of us who step foot on a college campus are seekers, and you know seekers better than anyone else. We're seeking for knowledge. We're seeking for companionship. We're seeking for truth, that capital T truth, Lord. And God, I pray for your Spirit there in a powerful presence, because you know that relationship so intimately. Lord, I pray for our students that as they're looking, that they find who they are so powerfully, Lord, that you will fill them with the knowledge of what their strengths are, that they hone those strengths, sharpen them, that you just fill them, Lord, with such a knowledge and a sharpness of who you've made them to be, God. Lord, I pray for our faculty and staff, Lord, especially those who are on campuses that are not Christian, and for those who are believers, that you'll give them a boldness, Lord, to reveal you in the many things that they do every day and their interactions with students and the content that they're covering and the random encounters that they have with people every day, Lord, that you will continue to dig deep into their hearts and help them reveal to them who you are in their everyday lives on campus, Lord. And God, I think the college campus is a unique place for us to really dive deep into the extent of human knowledge. And I know that that's something that you've provided for us. I know it's a gift that you've allowed me to explore myself, and I am so grateful for it. And God, I just pray that everyone on those campuses, that we appreciate that gift of knowledge and that our ability to seek it, and that we do it with fervor, that we extend the very limits of any area, that any discipline that we seek to master, because at that edge, that's where we're going to find you, Lord. I just pray that we powerfully search for knowledge, search for truth. And in that, I am so confident that we will find you in that, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Thanks, Tessa. Victor is going to pray for just the Latino Hispanic population. And we know that in Crete, that is very much part of our area. And
it's my privilege today to pray for the Latino population. But before to praying, I want to read a passage of the scripture found in the 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 to 3. I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness, and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior. The first verse is general, includes you and me, and says God urges everyone to pray for others. Verse 2 and 3 is more specific for the leaders, but the verse 1 urges everyone to pray for each other's families, friends, neighbors, and everyone. Pray with me, please. Father, we pray in Jesus' name for the Hispanic population in Crete, Nebraska, and across the country. Oh God, we pray that you will have their eyes and minds to have their hearts to you, and you can save them so that their lives will be changed and that represent your sons and daughters of yours. They become a living witness to you, to your power and grace, that your name be exalted and glory be extended. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you, Victor. Amen. I'm going to have the musicians come. Close with one final prayer, and then they're going to lead us in a chorus. And as I do, Josh and Victor and Yolanda will be in the back for prayer if you have a need or a request this morning. But will you just allow God to just kind of cement that, and just even throughout this week, be thinking about how you can incorporate prayer into your day. For some of us, school starts again, and so maybe the schedule kind of gets a little bit back to normal. But how can you weave prayer into this week and begin this year out here in God's heart? Father, this morning, I identify with Paul just for your church, his prayer for the church. That's my prayer for Radiant Springs Church, that we may come to know the love of God that is wide, that is deep, that is high. And that the people of Crete and Wilbur and Sprague and this whole area, Dorchester, can come to know the love of God. Not just what they perceive to be the love of God, but that they can know your love that is beyond knowledge, beyond understanding. The God that you love them and you call them unto yourself. That they can know your forgiveness, your grace, your mercy. And you call us from all walks of life to know you. And Father, that is my prayer, is that we, the church, may be a light to the community and to our area of influence. The more people can come to know you, that we can come to know you in a greater way, dear God. And we ask this in your holy and precious name. Amen.